Welcome to Local Gov Matters, the podcast that talks about the latest issues facing Wisconsin. In this podcast, we discuss what's happening at the state capitol and in counties around the state. You'll hear from state elected officials, county leaders, and other experts and advocates. We'll provide the local impact of state legislation and insights into how county government works and how it impacts you. It's the background, the stories, and even some insider baseball that will help you frame the issues and make it worth your listen. So whether you're sitting at your desk, driving in your car, or enjoying your morning coffee, we're thrilled you joined us. Let's get started. Welcome to Local Gov Matters, the podcast of the Wisconsin Counties Association. I'm Michelle Gormican-Thompson, communications consultant with the Wisconsin Counties Association.
And I am Mark O'Connell, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Counties Association. You know, Michelle, it occurs to me that not everyone knows what the Wisconsin Counties Association is. We are a lobbying organization that serves county government in Wisconsin. We work in Washington, D.C. and Madison, trying to get done whatever counties wish to get done. And part of, a big part of what counties want to get done is making our communities a better place for the people who live and work in our counties. We've got 72 beautiful, gorgeous counties, each special in their own way.
That we do.
With just an incredible, hardworking citizenry that every day is trying to make Wisconsin a better place, and that's what county government is really all about.
And Mark, today we have a guest that's going to talk about something that impacts all 72 counties in our state. Mark, our special guest today is from Forward Analytics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest?
Well, I'll tell you. First, let's talk about Forward Analytics. Forward Analytics has very quickly become the preeminent research entity in the state of Wisconsin, often referred to as the gold standard of research. Very well respected and highly regarded in the state capitol for their reports and research, analysis, insight. Some research entities will go maybe a couple inches deep in a 10-foot river. Forward Analytics goes the full 10 feet, and so what appears to be research is maybe just sort of esoteric, but with Forward Analytics, it's deep, and they examine the issue fully, and it's revealing what they find out. We have today, as you said, Michelle, the Deputy Director of Forward Analytics, Kevin Dosboy, very well respected and regarded. And, well, Michelle, tell us a little bit about the report that Kevin's going to talk with us about.
We are talking about the latest deep dive of Forward Analytics, and that is a study priced out the steep cost of childcare in Wisconsin. Kevin's here today to discuss in depth the study, the challenges facing both parents as well as providers, and what impacts this childcare crisis means for the future of our state. Welcome to the WCA studio, Kevin Dosboy.
Kevin, welcome. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michelle.
You know, this report, Kevin, in reading the report, it is startling how much money it takes to get childcare in Wisconsin. I mean, I'm sure you'll tell us about some of the comparisons, but you made a comparison about how much of a person's income or a family's income goes to childcare. You compared that to what it costs to send a child to a university in Wisconsin. That statistic or that comment really startled me. I had no idea. Why don't you just tell us what did you look at in this report, and what kinds of things were revealed to you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely, there's some startling statistics here. So, when we first started researching the report, we obviously saw how expensive childcare was, but we wanted to know why. We wanted to know what was really driving the cost. So as a student of Dale Knapp, the director and economist here at Forward Analytics, we treated this as any economist would, as an issue of supply and demand. Now we looked at demand, which is the number of kids age 0 to 6 with all parents in the workforce, because these are typically the kids that need childcare. And this population has been steadily declining year over year. And that's not really a surprise, right? We know from our previous reporting that Wisconsin is an aging state, like much of the region. Fewer people are having kids. Fewer families are moving here with kids. So we saw that number decline a little bit, and that was kind of expected. But the more surprising figure was the supply in our equation, which is the number of workers in the field. So we looked at the number of childcare workers and preschool teachers and how that number has kind of changed over time. So that number actually went down by 4 times that amount that the population of children went down. So this puts a huge strain on the entire childcare field and puts upward pressure on the price of childcare. So the lack of workers in the field is really straining families' access to childcare and the family's ability to afford childcare, even if they can find a spot.
So, Kevin, in one of the previous reports from Forward Analytics, you looked at the demographics of Wisconsin, and one of the statistics that, I read in the report was that we have so few births going on in our state. The last time we had this few of births in Wisconsin, in real actual numbers, was 1973. So with fewer births happening, shouldn't we have more availability of childcare slots, I mean, everywhere?
Yeah, so in theory, yes, that would be true. But what we've seen in the report overall is it's a function of the workforce of childcare. So I want to start off by saying we looked at something in the report. We call it passion versus paycheck. So this is the idea that people take jobs in certain fields like childcare. You can think of social workers and teachers. They take these jobs knowing that they're going to earn a little bit less money than they would have in other fields. But they do the job anyway because they love it. They love what they do. They love taking care of kids. They love teaching. So keep that in mind. And when we did the report, we looked at wages for childcare workers. And we know that they don't get paid a ton of money. In 2015, the median salary of a childcare worker in Wisconsin was just over $20,000. By 2021, this had grown to about $26,000, which is a pretty decent pay increase over that many years. So even with that level of pay increase, we're seeing 16% fewer workers in the field. So why is that? So what we did is we compared the wages of childcare workers to wage growth in other jobs. Specifically, we looked at jobs with very little and very few barriers to entry. So we're talking about jobs where a childcare worker can go maybe the next day and go, you know, work as in a big box store for a retailer or in a warehouse.
Well, and that's clearly the case because at $26,000 a year, that's really about $13 an hour. And that you're not going to support a household on that kind of an income. So what we either have young people or people that it's a second job because they enjoy it, or people that simply have a passion, as you indicated earlier, for that kind of a job occupation. But it's still a problem. And we're not attracting enough workers to that industry. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So what we saw was, even with the pay increase that we talked about from 2015 to 2021, they actually went down relative to other occupations. They went from earning the 28th lowest out of all the jobs we looked at, almost 600 jobs, to the 13th lowest in 2021. So even though they saw that pay increase relative to other occupations, they're earning less and less money. So when we talk about that passion versus paycheck, right, we look at, I'm doing this job because I'm really passionate about it. I love it. Okay, factor in a year of double-digit inflation. You have core goods and services, housing, food, shelter, everything is so much more expensive now. That gap between what you're earning now and what you could be earning becomes too wide at some point. So that's what we've seen over the past 6 or 7 years, is people leaving the childcare field, not joining the field to begin with, because they're just not able to pay this for the same services that they were able to pay for.
So we have less young people that need childcare. We have a lot less people willing to provide that child care. So we may actually have slots available at a child care facility, but the facility cannot take additional children because they don't have the workers.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of the things we looked at in the report when we looked at supply and demand. You've seen these statistics out there where other advocacy groups, or you look at maybe DCF puts out these figures where you look at the number of slots per kid or the number of slots available. Okay, that we looked at that and we were going to use that, but the more we looked into it, it's not the most telling metric you can use, because if you have a childcare facility that's licensed to care for 8 kids, but because they can't pay anybody enough money to attract a worker, they're all of a sudden only able to offer 4 because of minimum standards at the state level, which are there for good reason, and that's fine. But if they're only able to offer slots for 4, they're still licensed for 8. So it still shows that they have 8 slots, but really there's only 4 available to the public.
Well, that's something I think we're not picking up on, I guess, in the news. We have, a lot of capacity, but that's not reality.
Right.
Sure, my childcare facility down the road might be able to take, you know, 25 or 30 children. But when you only have enough workers to take care of 12, and that's because of state regulation, is that right? I mean, you're limited to how many
children? Well, you are limited to the number, but I don't think state regulation is necessarily the cause of that. I mean, if you can't pay somebody more than $12 an hour and they can go work at a retail store and make 16 with more flexibility and maybe some benefits, I mean, there are confounding factors there, sure.
So isn't the answer obvious? I know the research, when you do research at Forward Analytics, you lay out the issue in depth, in detail, and you look at the issue from every conceivable angle. And it's not really the research entity's job to come up with solutions, but as a layperson, I hear what you're saying in the report, and I say, well, that seems like an easy solution. Just pay people more. But we can't do that, can
sure.
we?
Sure.
Man survive.
I mean, in theory, you can pay people more, but the problem is that child care facilities, they can't necessarily just go and charge their customers more money because their customers are parents who are already paying upwards of 36% of their household income for child care. So, yes, if any other business in the world could raise their, you know, their prices to their customers and increase their wages to attract workers. And really, we've seen that. We've seen private industry raise wages over the past couple of years to do just that, attract workers, because we have such low unemployment and high labor force participation. Child care providers can't necessarily do that because there's just no more money to be drawn from parents.
So paying more than a third of your total household income to child care, early childhood education, child care,
right.
that is an enormous drain on the families of Wisconsinites.
Which brings me to our next question, Kevin. So according to your study, child care for two young children can cost more than $25,000 per year, more than the price tag for tuition at UW-Madison. So we're always talking about saving for college when you have kids, saving for your retirement, saving for that first house. Why isn't child care ever really discussed?
It's a really good question. So we made the comparison between child care and college. We didn't do it because the services are equal, right? We're not comparing the services of childcare and college because they're not equal. I don't know if one should cost more than the other. That really wasn't the point. College, first of all, is infinitely more scalable than childcare. You can fit 300 18-year-olds in a lecture hall. You can't do that with infant childcare for good reason. But we compared the two more because we want to talk about the perception of the cost. Every family, every young adult, they know how expensive college is. You might not know to the dollar amount what you're going to pay for a year of tuition, but you know it's expensive. Parents have 18 years to save. Kids have a few years to work and save. They have scholarships. They have work study. They have student loans. There are options to pay for college. I think what fewer people really understand until they're in that situation, it's just how expensive childcare is. When you have new families that are thinking about having kids, I don't think that people really understand just how much money it's going to cost. It's going to cost up to a third, if not more, of your household income. I think that that's probably changing with the amount that childcare has kind of been in the news and in the public discussion. But I think it's important to bring it up. And we bring it up because typically when people have kids, they're younger. They're at the beginning of their careers. They're at the earliest point in their earnings cycle. So if you think about it, they're really going to be paying one of the most expensive bills they're ever going to pay at precisely the time when they're earning the least amount of money. So we wanted to make that part of the discussion, and that's why we wanted to highlight that comparison.
So, Kevin, where can I find this report, number one? By the way, we're speaking with Kevin Dospoy, Deputy Director of Forward Analytics, Michelle Thompson and Mark O'Connell of the Wisconsin Counties Association talking with Kevin. Kevin, what is the website that we can go to see this report?
Sure. You can find it at forward-analytics.net, and it'll be right there on the homepage. It's our latest report.
Forward-analytics.net. And you have several reports on the website. You've done, I mean, there's years worth of reports.
Yep.
Every one of them, I guess I would say, I find more interesting than the previous. They're all incredibly fascinating and really some of the best research really done in the borders of Wisconsin. We're going to take a break here, but I do want to talk about kind of blend together a couple reports that you've done. One, we're talking about our demographics challenge, not enough young people, and this report saying, yes, not enough young people, but we can't even find early childhood education for the ones we have, and that leads to trouble in a consumer-led economy where we need to have a lot more young people, smart young talent of tomorrow here in the state. We'll get to this right after the break.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
Welcome Welcome back to Local Gov Matters, the podcast of the Wisconsin Counties Association. We are sitting down today with Forward Analytics Deputy Director Kevin Dosboy, who is discussing Forward Analytics' latest report, Priced Out: The Steep Cost of Childcare in Wisconsin.
So right before the break, Kevin, I wanted to talk a little bit. I mentioned we've had this, you've done reports on demographics, where we essentially said we don't have enough young people, we don't create enough, we don't grow enough, we don't attract enough, we don't educate enough, we don't retain enough. And then you compare that, so we would say, well, let's just grow some more young people. But growing young people is incredibly expensive. As you just mentioned before the break, we can send a young person to a university in our state, to college, but we've got 18 years to save for that. Many times when we have a create a child, we don't have 18 years of advance notice. So that bill comes really quickly. How do you balance or blend those two? How do we justify not having enough young people and then having it be so expensive to have early childhood education?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the issue of not having enough young people, yeah, we've written reports on this, and you know, Wisconsin is an aging state, but it's not unique to Wisconsin, right? The entire Midwest is aging. The whole region is aging. The fertility rate across the country is declining. People are having fewer kids all across the country and in the region. So really what I think it comes down to is nobody has this childcare thing figured out. Okay, there are no states that have the silver bullet to answer, you know, what do we do about this? What do we do about this problem? How do we help parents pay for childcare? Because everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants more kids because, you know, Dale says it takes 18 years to grow a worker in economic terms, right? Everybody wants more kids, especially with the unemployment rate so low and the labor force participation rate so high. So I think the question becomes, you know, what do you do about it? So unfortunately, there isn't one concrete answer, and ultimately, I think it's going to be maybe a conglomeration of a bunch of different proposals that are out there. You know, maybe reducing regulations a little bit to have more kids available in each individual childcare class will help lower the costs. Maybe there does need to be some state, federal, local dollars coming into childcare to help parents offset that cost, because we do want the best for our kids, obviously, but the best costs a lot of money. And maybe we do need buy-in from private businesses. We need, you know, flexible remote work schedules for parents to, you know, adjust to their kids' schedule, their school drop-offs, their school pickups, things like that. Maybe we need childcare stipends as a worker incentive, as a form of economic development for companies to attract those workers and get them back in the workforce.
This report, the Early Childhood Education Childcare Report, done by Forward Analytics, forward-analytics.net. That's where you can find the report. Is that right, Kevin?
That's right.
That report, while it doesn't talk about solutions, and I know it's not your area, I have heard some people postulate about what possible solutions are. You just ran through a couple of them, but some people have said, well, what maybe we should have private businesses, if they provide childcare to their employees as a benefit, be able to take a bigger deduction in taxes to make that happen. And some have said, well, maybe we should treat early childhood education like sort of a categorical aid when it comes to school aids in our state, providing them school aid dollars. Are those ideas viable? I mean, have you heard of those ideas in the past?
Yeah. So during our research, we've heard of a number of different ideas. We actually heard of one out of Kentucky, where essentially if you go to work for a childcare facility, then you get your childcare paid for through public dollars, which is an interesting solution. The data is still out on whether or not it works, but the point is that other states and other communities are trying different things, because I think that's really important. Like I said, nobody has the answer to this just yet. But yes, to your point, you know, there are instances of larger companies offering childcare to their employees. And while that's great for the employees that work there, you have to also consider we are facing this workforce issue with childcare. So if you as a private company are hiring maybe three people out of the local pool of talent to provide childcare for your employees, the people that aren't working at your company are now out those three employees in the region. So there are real downsides to these types of issues. But yes, that's an innovative strategy that I think in the long term, combined together with other strategies, could work.
You know, this Kentucky idea, that's I hadn't heard about that. So it's a a lure to bring in more workers is your child is cared for free of charge.
Right.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, that's a huge benefit.
Yeah, I mean, so I think what they're seeing is similar to what Wisconsin and other states are seeing, right? You have this workforce shortage specifically in the childcare field. Nobody wants to go, you know, do a very stressful job for $12, $13 an hour. So to incentivize people to go do that job, if you maybe do it part-time after you work a full-time job, you go at night and you work as a childcare childcare provider, or you work in the morning, maybe you work second shift at your full-time job, you are then, you know, you're earning a little bit extra money. You are working, you know, a second job potentially, but you're getting your childcare paid for, which is more money than you're going to, you know, it costs more money than you're going to earn working the side job. So it's an innovative strategy. Like I said, the data is still out on whether or not it works, but, you know, it's something that a state is trying.
We are talking with Kevin Dosboy, Deputy Director of Forward Analytics, about early childhood education, child care. It's forward-analytics.com. And Michelle, this is one of the challenges of the day.
Absolutely. You know, this issue it's being talked about everywhere. We're seeing it in the media. Across the street at the Capitol, the conversation is being had. Governor's called a special session on child care. Legislative Republicans have put forth their own plan. Kevin, why do you think this issue has made it on everybody's priority list?
Yeah, so child care has been expensive for a very long time. Okay, as a parent myself, I can tell you this. I know every parent listening to this is screaming into their phone or their radio. Of course, it's
expensive. Yes, yes, yes.
Everybody knows this.
Yep.
But I think part of the reason it's such an issue now is because we're seeing more and more and more people leave the workforce, as we covered in our report, which is driving up the cost even further. We know that with child care counts ending in January, wages are going to go, you know, they're going to backslide a little bit. So I think that's also what's driving this issue to the forefront of public discussion. But, you know, as we talked about in the report, even through 2021, childcare wages, which are including that first, you know, tranche of childcare counts funding, they didn't keep pace with other occupations. So even with that funding, there was still a workforce struggle. You know, also now we have historically low unemployment and high labor force participation. So as a state, we really can't afford to have people who want to work sitting on the sidelines because childcare is too expensive. So I think there's a number of reasons that the issue is so relevant, but the biggest one is that childcare is so expensive and families are concerned, which of course in turn makes their elected leaders concerned.
You know, Michelle, you just mentioned it. We have people listening to this podcast right now saying, yes, of course I know childcare is expensive. But they're also probably saying the most valuable asset we have in this state are our young people. And we're deciding to not pay the people that care for these people a decent wage.
That's yet, the first thought that came to my mind, Mark, that these are most treasured for all the reasons as parents, but from all the other perspectives going forward, creating a workforce, impacting our economy, and at the base of that, we're paying such incredibly low wages.
You know, this is an interesting situation we have because the parents are thinking, well, I'm paying a lot of money, but it's not going to the worker. Now, I'm not asking that we audit the books of the child care facilities, but there's a lot of overhead. The buildings cost a lot. I mean, I've driven past child care facilities, and I'm thinking, I would not want my child there. Then I've driven past others saying, what a beautiful place. But that costs money. So it's the money goes to the facility. The money goes into, you know, the ratios of workers to individuals. So even though we're not paying them a lot, we have to have a lot of them to ensure that we have the proper care. The food and everything has gone up. So it's not as if child care facilities are making a lot of money and just simply paying their people less, is it?
No, that's not the case at all. Child care facilities, they're struggling, and we've seen child care facilities across the state close. And, you know, part of that is because they can't find the workers, but also part of it is because they just can't afford to keep their doors open. So, you know, when we talk about solutions to the issue, one of the big things that we really wanted to focus on is that whatever the solution is, okay, there's a fundamental mismatch between the amount of money that's being paid to childcare workers and the amount of money that needs to be paid. So the amount of money that's collected from parents as opposed to the amount of money that needs to be paid to workers to keep these facilities open. So whatever the answer is, whether it's you know, public dollars, federal, state, local, whether it's reducing regulations to allow child care facilities to raise more money on their own by taking in more kids. Whatever it is needs to be ongoing. It can't be a one-time source of funding that needs to be, you know, kind of reapproved every year or something like that. It needs to be ongoing, consistent, and predictable for childcare facilities to keep their doors open.
You know, you raise an interesting point there, Kevin, because we compare it to the cost of higher education. But in higher education, those facilities in higher education, they get dollars from the state. They have an endowment. They have contributors. They have benefactors that provide a fair amount of dollars to the higher education facility. I would venture to say that if a student paid the full price of tuition just out of their pocket, like a person is paying for childcare to the extent that they can find it, it would be the cost of higher education be much, much, much higher. But the problem is the childcare facility, the early childhood education location, they don't have those benefactors or state aids or other revenue streams or a giant endowment they can generate investment income from. So they're almost solely reliant on the dollars paid by the parents of the young person. And that's really where the high cost comes in.
Yeah, and that is also what makes it so difficult for childcare providers to attract the workers, because you can't raise your prices anymore. Their parents are already paying more than they can afford. So you can't just raise your prices to raise your wages to hire more people, which is why we're seeing so many people leave to go work at, you know, the big box stores, or, you know, even we looked at like waiters and waitresses, right? We looked at warehouse workers, retail clerks. They're all making more money than childcare workers, and they all are making even more money now over the past 6 years than childcare workers. So it's really an ongoing struggle for these providers.
You know, one of the things I want to mention with Forward Analytics at forward-analytics.net, talking with Kevin Dospoy, Deputy Director, the reports that you write are completely understandable. You don't use all of these giant research words that we don't know what they mean. You're using plain English. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast, take a look at forward-analytics.net and this report. You can easily understand it, and you get a very good idea of exactly what the problem is. And maybe we'll have listeners to this podcast say, well, I've got an idea or two. I'm not sure. Kevin, can they call you and tell you what the solution is?
Yeah, absolutely. Email me. We'll get this problem. We'll get all these problems figured out.
Oh, better yet, let's have him call Michelle.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
And then I'll pass it along to you. So you have been listening to Local Gov Matters, the podcast of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Thank you, Kevin Dospoy, for your time today and perspective on such an important issue that touches all of us. So as always, in our show notes, you're going to find the latest Forward Analytics report, Priced Out the Steep Cost of Childcare in Wisconsin. You will also find links to other Forward Analytics reports and to the website, so be sure to check that out. You can also find Local Gov Matters on your favorite podcast streaming service, from Apple Music to Spotify to Podbean to Stitcher. You can also link to our podcast from our WCA website at wicounties.org. And as Mark said, we encourage you to reach out to us with any topics or guests you would like to see.
And Kevin, I just want to say a special thank you to you and the Director of Forward Analytics, Dale Knapp, for the reports you put out. It is no wonder that Forward Analytics has very quickly become the number one research entity in the state. The work is just incredible, understandable, and I'd encourage everyone to visit the website, forward-analytics.net. Kevin Dospoy, thank you so much for joining us.
And we will catch you all next time on
Local Gov Matters.
Thanks, Kevin.